This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Trish Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have been preaching here for over a decade, and I have managed to avoid being assigned the Good Friday sermon. And this has been a great blessing to me. Because for those of you for whom this isn't your first Good Friday, you know that this is the hardest day of the Christian calendar. It's supposed to be that way for a reason, and we're going to talk about that. But did you notice that even the space is made different today? It feels wrong. Did you notice that we are barred from the cross here? That our table is not set for a celebration? And that all of us are wearing black. The moniker Good Friday is simply the name that has been given the day. It's also been called Long Friday, Great Friday, God's Friday, and Holy Friday. But whatever you call it, it is an uncomfortable day. The discomfort comes from the fact that we are going to spend most of our time talking about the condition of our hearts. And the rest of the time, we'll be talking about Jesus' work on the cross. If this is your first Good Friday, you should know that it is uncomfortable. It is not good. If this is not your first Good Friday, then you know what I mean. You also know that it is in the pain and the horror of Christ's suffering and crucifixion that the most amazing miracle happens. The reason that it is a Good Friday at all is because all of its ugliness is redeemed in the work of Christ as he dies for us on the cross. What I think is most difficult about this gathering is that its purpose, the very reason that we are here, is to revisit and remember things that we would rather not. And what is difficult about preaching this message is that I don't want to remember or revisit them either. And honestly, I don't want to break your heart. I don't want to make you revisit and remember. But that's what today is about. Later on in the Bible, in the book of Acts, when Peter gives this message to people, it's a large group of people, and when they heard it, their response was to be cut to the heart. That is Good Friday. That is the gospel. And that is my recommendation for us today. Let our reading cut deep. The Good Friday story isn't just information. It isn't like any other story you will hear or read. This is a true account of the greatest injustice and betrayal of the people of this world and what we've perpetrated on our Creator, our God, and our King. And when I say the people of this world, I mean me. I mean all of us. Because God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for all of us, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So today, I'd like to do three things. I want you to hear the gospel, because it is the very power of God. I want you to hear John's message, the one that was read for us today, because God's word never goes back to him, never returns to him without accomplishing what he intended to do in us. And also because the gospel writer himself, he said that he wrote all of this, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And lastly, I want you to remember this Good Friday. I want you to experience Good Friday, because it makes Easter all the more joyful and profound. But first things first, I want you to hear the gospel. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So let's start at the beginning. God made the heavens and the earth. Behold the kingdom of God, unblemished. And it was connected in a way that enabled God to dwell with his people. God walked in the cool of the day in the garden. And then God made people, and he put them in the garden, and he made them to co-rule it. That was why they were created. That is what we are made for. But as you know the story, there was a snake in the garden. And he pointed out to the people that they had a choice. They could choose to live under God's gracious rule, or they could choose to choose right and wrong for themselves and rule their world. And as you know, they chose the latter, and the realms broke apart. But something else happened the day. The Bible calls it sin. In Genesis 6, it says something happened to our heart, that every inclination of our hearts became evil all the time. Something happened to our hearts that day. So God sent prophets and judges, leaders, and sometimes angels to call his people back to himself. But hearts were so hard and corrupted by their desire to rule for themselves that they remained stubborn and unwilling to co-rule with God. In the book of Ezekiel, God says we have hearts of stone. Then God sent Jesus to make this offer once again, and that's where we are in our story right now. God sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to make this offer to all of us. But in order to transform our inmost desire from one of self-rule to one of selfless rule, Jesus has to do a spiritual work, to die in our place so that we would have the opportunity to truly live. Again in Ezekiel, God said he would give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us, a heart of flesh. Jesus' death makes that possible, to be transformed into the people, the kind of people we were created to be, to do the kind of work for which we were created. But the good news does not stop there. In the book of Revelation, which was also written by our gospel writer John, Jesus tells us that he is making a new heavens and a new earth, that he is going to bring these two realms back together, and that those who choose to follow him can co-rule their earthly lives with him now and serve and co-rule in the kingdom of God to come. You can read about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, 22. John writes about the vision that he saw. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." This is what Jesus is preparing for us, and what he is preparing us for. That is the offer that is on the table today. That is the good news. Jesus lived and died so that we might have this choice. It's an incredible gift, but few have chosen to receive it. That hard heart that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, the one that's made of stone, it's a stubborn thing, isn't it? It's a stubborn thing. The book of Isaiah and Jeremiah both recount many ways that the people live in the stubbornness of their heart. When we do hear about the incredible gift of God, I think our stubborn hearts take up a defense. Just like the snake in the garden, our hearts ask us, "But did God really say that? Did he really promise that? What does he mean by co-rule exactly? And what does God mean? The new heavens and the new earth, what will that be like?" We ache for more specifics, don't we? We want all the details. We are not alone. Adam and Eve had the same problem, only in reverse. The same way that we would like specifics about what it would mean to live the life God has purposed for us, we only have the reality that we live in right now. Adam and Eve knew what God's rule looked like. Imagine the garden. It's gorgeous, full of food. God is there. The people are there. Their job is a daily joy. They were living in the kingdom of God, But they had questions about what would life look like if they ruled. They probably imagined that it would be just as beautiful, only they would be in charge. That is not what happened. And that's one of the purposes of John's message today. He answers Adam and Eve's question. What does it look like when men and women rule? When they rule apart from God, everything in the world is wrong. Just a quick listing of the events in our reading today, and you can see the chaos and the darkness that comes from our efforts. Friends betray friends. And not just Judas and Peter. All of the disciples fled. People become violent out of fear. All of a sudden, Peter has a sword. Where did the sword come from? The economy is dangerous. A large quantity of soldiers means power. Brutality means authority. And if you are a king or a governor or a chief priest, your office gives you rule to do what you want. Treating others cruelly and without dignity demonstrates your command, and beatings, floggings, and nailing flesh and bone to the cross demonstrates your dominion. It is the very opposite of the kingdom of God, where our king is faithful and steadfast and rules out of love and mercy and then dies in our place. At the end of our reading today, when the people ask for Barabbas, it is the ultimate irony. Translated, his name means Son of God. Did you see that? Bar Abba. Abba is the most intimate name a believer can call God, Son of God. But under our rule, the Son of God who is released is a man wanted for insurrection and treason, and instead an innocent man is crucified in the worst possible way, on a tree that we've turned into a tool to kill him. This is the opposite of Isaiah chapter 2, when people beat their swords into agricultural tools. This is a moment to let that cut deep. This isn't just a story happening in a garden anymore, is it? It's the story of our lives. We've all been the betrayer or the betrayed. We've been the deserter. Have you ever deserted a friend or been deserted? Have you ever lashed out at someone because you were afraid or frightened? Have you ever lied like Peter because you were so scared? Have you ever suffered under the decisions that somebody has made for you? Have others treated you cruelly or physically abused you? This is the story of our lives, and it is a heartbreak. We are unfit to rule, to do the job we were created for, and something needs to be done to fix us and our world. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is hard to talk about all the physical and material strangeness of this episode without noting that each wrong thing has a spiritual reality. The quality of the heart that you would find in Judas or Peter, the soldiers, Annas, Caiaphas, Herod, Pilate, the executioners, everyone in the crowd, absolute hearts of stone. Did you notice that there is no compassion, no mercy, justice, or peace anywhere? It is the complete absence of goodness, except in Jesus. He has compassion and mercy for all of his creation. We know from the Gospel of Luke that even in the middle of his crucifixion, he welcomed a criminal into the kingdom of God. If you were here last night, we all sang, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," the very words of this criminal who hung on the cross. And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." There's a lot of scholarly work that says that the word paradise is the Greek translation for the word for Garden of Eden. It has come to mean heaven. It has come to mean the kingdom of God. So what does Good Friday mean for us? It means that we have everything all the compassion, mercy, justice, and peace that is missing from this story is ours in Christ. Our stubborn heart is replaced, and we don't have to stay in that nighttime nightmare garden of our own creation. Through our life in Jesus, we can walk with God in the cool of the day, and on the other side of this life, rule with him in the kingdom of God. But you will hear a lot more about that on Sunday. Today we all stand here at the foot of the tree, only it's been fashioned into a cross. And the offer that was made to Adam and Eve under a different tree is made again. God gives us the freedom to choose. Would we like to live under God's gracious rule or rule our own lives? I'm always surprised how long it took me to say yes to this offer, and for so many of the people I love and know who have declined this offer altogether. I think it comes down to answering two questions. Do you trust the character of God, and do you believe that you can rule your life better without him? The Gospel of John gives us two images to help us decide. In Jesus, we see the character of God, and in the story of his crucifixion, we see what it looks like when people rule alone. I do not know where you are right now. Maybe you have already said yes to this gift, and Good Friday reminds you of the suffering of Christ in order to make this offer available to you. That is certainly a reason to worship today. Maybe you are confused about the crucifixion, and you're not so sure that the picture of the kingdom of God and the contrasting picture of betrayal and corruptions actually points to Jesus' saving work on the cross. Today is for you. Please consider what your life and world look like now and what might be different if you choose to accept this gift. And maybe your answer is, no, thank you. I'd like to rule my own life. Please understand that as you make your choice, even if you say no, thank you, Jesus died in order for you to have this choice. He hung in our place on the cross for all of the betrayals, all of the corruption, all of the violence. The crucifixion is a picture of the sin of the world that Jesus gave his life to become for us. And because of what he did for us, we can be given a new heart and be transformed into who we were created to be, able to co-rule our own lives with God now and the kingdom of God later. So now we come to the time of this service where we can pray and wonder about all these things. For the next few minutes, our lovely string quartet is going to play a beautiful tune. And please feel free to come forward to the cross and kneel at the rail. It is an outward sign of an inward call to draw near to God. You won't be dismissed by Rose. You come up when you are ready. Jesus' brother James says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." If you have questions of God, ask him. If you'd like to say yes to his offer, please do so. If you'd like to just worship or praise him or thank him, come forward when you are ready.